Danas petak je, šta je, predzadnji dan je festivala. Imamo nekoliko gostiju, nekoliko njih se nije pojavilo, pa možda u trenutku kada dođu će nam se pridružiti. S moje lijeve strane je Rokšareh, is it right?
Rokšareh.
Rokšareh Gamegami. Can you pronounce your name, please?
Rokhsare Qaymaghami. That's why I will never be famous in Europe. Nobody can tell my name.
Okay, I will tell you Rok. Is it okay? I will give you that nickname. This is the director of the film Cyanosis that was on the program yesterday. Yeah. How was it yesterday? You arrived and you came back directly to the cinema. Yeah.
You mean how was it? The screening.
Yeah, the screening in Zagreb.
I enjoyed it. It was nice.
Is that all?
Yes. Okay.
Your movie is about the street art in Iran. Yeah, right. Yes. How did you come to the idea to make a film about it?
Actually, we don't have any street art in Iran, and Jamshid Aminfar, is the only person who is working in the street. He was painting and selling his paintings. So, and I was doing some researches about animated documentary that, and then it was my MA thesis, and I published it as a book in Iran. And while I was, when I was researching about this issue, I came to an idea to mix documentary with animation, and I knew Jamshid, and I thought that because he has some illusions, and reality and imagination is mixed in his life more than what is, you know, it's a bit abnormal. He is a bit abnormal, so I tried to paintings, I mixed them with live action footages of his own. And it was the idea, it was how I made this film.
Why animated documentary? What is so interesting in animated documentaries? We know that in these days this is popular, so what for you in that genre?
I was always interested in anime and in documentaries, and when I started to study cinema, decided to be a documentary filmmaker, but always I decided to be a make biographies. I like this kind of documentaries, but always I was feeling that live action footages cannot show the inner side of our life. Our dreams, our imaginations, our illusions are a kind of reality, a subjective reality. You mean? And you know what I mean. Knew that there is a genre. I didn't know that this is a genre in documentary in the world. And when I found that there are many filmmakers who make films in this style, I did a research on it, in it, because I think I wanted to show the inner life of people and myself. So that's why I came to this kind of make.
Yeah. And what is going on now today with your protagonist?
He's still working in the streets. Nothing has happened for him. My film has been screened in many festivals, and it is going to be screened in many festivals too. But nothing has happened for him yet.
Is it hard to be an artist in Iran?
It is hard, but it is not impossible to be an artist in Iran.
Okay, that's maybe what your film is talking actually about. Yeah. Okay, so if you have any additional questions for Rok, you may ask her. My other guest here is Christoph van Rompuy. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay. The director of the movie Moscow, Belgium. How do you say the name of your movie in Belgium?
Moscow, Belgium is the international title. The literal translation would be Accident in Moscow, Aanrijding in Moscow, which means accident in Moscow. And Moscow is a little neighborhood in the outskirts of Ghent, the city where I live in Flanders. Belgium is divided into communities, the French-speaking part and the Dutch-speaking part, and I come from the Dutch-speaking part and the city there, Ghent. And it's called Moscow because of the... during the war against Napoleon, the French emperor, there were some Russian soldiers based there, stationed Cossacks, and, well, it started as some kind of folk thing that parents told their children that they had to be good, otherwise they send them to the Russians, and that changed over time, we'll send you to Moscow, and it's still called that like that today. And nowadays it's like a big train station there. It's an area of like 2 square miles, and that's where we shot the film. So, yeah. I have a question actually about...
Okay, yeah, you just ask.
No, it was your question about the being hard to be an artist in Iran. I suppose is that linked to the... I'll rephrase it. Is there some sort of censorship on the art?
Yes, there is a censorship for filmmakers. There is not a lot of freedom of speech in Iran.
So it is hard if you want to do something.
It is hard. But I think that, it is hard for women and men in the same. You know, some people think that women in Iran are not. But not. This is not the problem. In every festival, I should explain that because I am a woman, I don't have any problem in Iran. There are many filmmakers, women filmmakers in Iran, but there is not enough freedom of speech in Iran.
So now I have again a question for you, Christoph. I want to know about the Cannes. You were in Cannes, you got the award. How did all this happen? This is your first movie or the second one?
It's the first feature.
Yeah, how did you get to the Cannes Festival?
You should ask the people of Cannes that. Yeah. Well, the project started out as a very small project. In my country, where there was not a lot, they didn't really believe in the project because I've been trying to make feature films for a couple of years now, and they always, because of budget, they stranded at 70-80% of the time, and it was cancelled. And this came along, and it was a very low budget project, and they told me like, "Oh, what are you doing now? It's finally you have a chance to make a first feature film." And you take all these unknown actors that nobody heard of, and you let them speak in a dialect that nobody understands. So they said, this is suicide, nobody's going to watch your film. And so they programmed it first locally in the area where I come from, where they understand the dialect. And it worked out very well, and then they tried it in the other communities, the other cities, and they did some test screenings, if they had to subtitle it or not, so, but they didn't. And it worked very well in our country, and it's word of mouth. So people talking about it, and it didn't go like this. It's very slowly started to have a success, and I think the producers sent it into Cannes, and I didn't know about that because the first time I got a phone call, I thought me making a prank, a joke. Then I didn't believe it when they called. I said, "Yeah, right, Cannes." But yeah. Apparently it was true, and it's a big circus actually. It's really fun to experience it because I was in Cannes a few years already, but not with a film, but with projects or with I've produced some stuff and trying to sell something there. It's different when you're actually in the program. And it's madhouse. I'm normally a really organized person, but over there I had this publicist, this agent, this international whatever, and they start to make schedules for you. You have to go there, and you don't have any control anymore over your life for like 10 days. But once you make the click, you get used to it and you try to have fun with it. And the most important thing, I think, is that It gave the film the opportunity to reach a bigger audience, and that's what I think we all want to have if we make a film that gets seen by as many people as possible. So
did these awards that you received there, did they help you in, I don't know, distribution of the film, or maybe to get the money for your next movie?
You would think that, but it doesn't actually. I think nowadays people, they judge projects on a project basis. They see what a project is. Like with my film, we didn't have any distribution or anything, but the moment it was selected in Cannes, we had a choice of like sales agents and distributors, and then...
That's second, so when they selected it for Cannes, you had everything.
No, exactly. So, and that's the same thing now. Everybody has my next project, but they're not going to throw money at my head to make it. They'll be careful and wait and see what it is about, and they'll probably wait until it's finished or something. So,
are you preparing something new?
I was actually this winter, but it got cancelled because we didn't find the money. So it's not cancelled, but and I'm working on something with the same people of Moscow, Belgium, for another project. But that's, we still have to write the script. So we just got some development money from the government to do that.
The actors are really great in the movie. I really like them, both of the main actors. How did you find them? I mean, did you work with those actors before, or you just...
No. When you make a film, the most important thing is like the script, the story. And after that, I think it's casting. Especially with this film, which is... it's not there's not a lot of stuff happening. Everything that is happening is on an emotional level. It's inside people's heads, inside their hearts. So we try to make a story as authentic as possible, as realistic as possible. So we said, okay, we have to find the best actors that we can find. And the tricky thing was they all had to speak that weird dialect from that city I come from. So there wasn't a big choice of actors. I actually saw all the females from around 40. I saw all the guys from around 30, all the kids, and we simply chose the best ones for the part.
So those are actually people that live there in Moscow?
No, not Moscow. Well, it's the dialect is spoken in a wider range than Moscow itself. It's they come from the province of East Flanders, where Ghent is the main city.
Thank you very much. If you have any more questions for Christoph, you can feel free to ask. I evo moj posljednji gost, now I will switch to Croatian, so if you have any problems with understanding, here is our translator that will help you. Posljednja dva gosta danas, još sam se zapravo trebao pridružiti i Raf Rentjens, reditelj filma Štakor iz tunela, ali mislim da je na projekciji trenutno, pa ako nam se pridruži, predstavit ćemo vam ga. A evo s nama su Sandra Rančić i Dušan Vesić. Sandra je scenaristica filma EKV, kao da je bilo nekad, a Dušan Vesić, reditelj, dobrodošli.
Hvala.
Dušane, Sandra, vaš film je, moram priznati, ono kad smo objavili da ćemo ga prikazati u Hrvatskoj, izazvao veliko, veliko oduševljenje, veliko zanimanje. Prije da smo išta uopće rekli, dakle, bilo samo dovoljno spomenuti EKV i to je bilo to. Jeste to očekivali, je li to možda razlog zašto ste radili film?
Ja treba da budem iskren ili...
Da, ja bih molila.
Kad sam počeo da radim to, ja sam imao tu ideju da to bude tako.
Kako, da bude, da se diže medijska buka samo zbog toga što se radi film o EKV-u?
Ne, nego da je interesantno ovdje. Ja sam znao da će to biti interesantno u Beogradu, to je normalno. Ali me bi interesovalo da to da se to desi tu.
I?
Pa ne znam, to vam ti ispričaj sad.
Ja.
Mi smo se malo preprobudili, nemam pojma.
Ok, kad ste počeli snimati film, koliko dugo ste ga radili i uopće ono kako je to sve skupa krenulo?
To je duga priča, ali evo ja ću da kažem najkraću verziju. Kad smo pre nekoliko godina radili seriju koja se zove Rokovnik, dakle istorija rock'n'rolla, snimali smo mnogo ljudi iz svih krajeva bivše Jugoslavije i ovaj, svuda gde god smo snimali, naletali smo samo na grafit EKV, dakle od svih bendova koje smo svi voleli i kojima smo se bavili u seriji Rokovnik, naletali smo svuda, dakle jednako Beograd, Zagreb, Ljubljana, Sarajevo, Skoplje, samo grafite EKV. Onda smo shvatili da je to nešto o čemu treba da ispričamo priču na ovaj način na koji smo ispričali. Evo, kasnije, znači pre 4 godine počinje ideja, pre 4 godine je nastala ideja, a ovaj, realizacija, evo.
Snimali ste 4 godine, niste manje ste snimali film?
Pa, dakle, ovaj, u nastavcima snimali smo sve ljude unazad. Ovaj, svi ljudi koji se pojavljaju u filmu su snimani u posljednjih nekoliko godina.
Evo ga, ja nisam pogledala film, nažalost, još uvijek. Mislim da ni većina ovdje publike nije pogledala film, jer je on na programu tek danas u 5 popodne. Pa ajde mi nešto ispričati o tom filmu. Koje, što ste zapravo htjeli ispričati s njime?
Dobro, ovako pa...
Ona voli da priča.
Ajde, volim, stvarno volim. Dobro, evo ovako, dakle, nije poenta priča o EKV-u, nije ovaj priča o bendu EKV, nego je poenta priče o jednom načinu života kojim smo mi živeli u bivšoj državi zajedničkoj. I tu sad ima svega, znači dotakli smo se apsolutno svega, ima šokantnih stvari, zato što se tim stvarima do sada niko nije bavio. Dakle, pojavljuju se razne teze u tom filmu. Jedna od tih bivša država pozorno i flagrantno uticala na ovaj, puteve droge, jeli? Pa je tako ceo novi talas o kom mi pričamo nastao i nestao, na primjer. E, sad, pošto trag EKV-a ne može da se nastavi, ne može da se ponovi, njihova muzika je zaista neponovljiva. Ono što su oni ostavili ne može da se nastavi, može, nažalost, da se imitira, imamo te primere ovaj, svuda. Mi smo smatrali da treba da ispričamo priču o tim ljudima iz svih uglova. I bilo je jako teško i ljudi su jako teško pristajali da pričaju zato što su članovi benda, eto, umrli u roku od 10-15 godina jedan za drugim, tako da iz originalne postave više niko nije živ. I to je zaista bila jedna onako teška priča. Kao što nije živ ni način života kojim smo nekad živeli i eto, otprilike to je neki siže. Da li, Dušane, ti želiš možda još nešto da kažeš?
Želim nešto da pitam. A tamo si htio nešto reći, evo ja sam te zaustavila. Koliko ste sugovornika imali?
Koliko?
Sugovornika.
A za televizijsku verziju smo imali 50, pa je posle u tom skraćivanju, mislim da ih je nekoliko ispalo, tako je. Mislim da je ostalo 47. Pa tajna dokumentarnog programa je u mnogo snimanja. Snimaš. Pa onda kažeš, e sad je dosta.
I kad ste rekli, e sad je dosta snimanja, sad idemo složiti film od toga?
U junu, negdje u junu je bilo. Imali smo sve što smo htjeli, onda je bilo.
Film, koliko mi je poznato, ide na televiziju. Dakle, ja mislim u 4 televizijska nastavka.
Da, to je bilo od,
kao serija.
Od 21. septembra do 12. oktobra.
Koliko se ta televizijska verzija razlikuje od filmske, odnosno od ove koju ćemo danas vidjeti?
Ukupno je 35 minuta duža, pošto su bila 4,5 sata. A onda je Boris Tamatić rekao, to je previše. Skratite to.
A sadržajno koliko se razlikuje?
Šta, koliko?
Sadržajno.
Pa ne nešto bitno. Ima nekih novih stvari, ali nije to nešto suštinski bitno sad.
Kako je publika u Srbiji prihvatila film?
Dobro. Da me teraš se hvalim tu.
Dobro, osim što je film polučio veliki interes, kakvi su komentari, mislim?
Pa, naravno, izazvao je veliku medijsku pažnju, a uvek kada se priča o EKV-u, uvek se dešavaju neke čudne stvari, tako da smo i mi u ovoj priči pratili znakove i tako smo došli do ovoga što ćete, nadam se, videti u 5 sati popodne. Pa eto, desila se i ta, taj moment da posle emitovanja prve epizode televizijske, znači verzije EKV kao da je bilo nekad, koja je emitovana na, inače, dan rođenja Milana Mladenovića. To mi nismo hteli, znači, hoću samo da kažem da su neke stvari bile potpuno van našeg uticaja, ali su se nekako slagale kockice, tako čudno. A onda je 2 dana kasnije umrla Sonja Savić, koja je, ono, maltene zvezda te prve epizode u kojoj se priča o počecima, o Vdu koji je njen prijatelj, o kom je pravila i film. Tako da je to sve onako bilo jako, jako čudno, jako potresno, naravno, izazvalo veliku medijsku pažnju.
Naši onda
je... Da, da. I inače, Sonja Savić, koja je umrla 23. septembra, je umrla na dan kada je Ivica Vdović, njen prijatelj, bubnjar EKV-a, umro. Znači, 16 godina ranije. Eto. Dakle, hoću da kažem, poklapanja su zaista neverovatna.
Puno, puno nekako...
Da, Margita je sahranjena na dan Milanovog rođenja. I tako dalje, i tako dalje.
Krug života i smrti. Ja, evo, ja bih sad prestala sa svojim pitanjima, budući da znam da je ovdje bilo zainteresiranih ljudi koji su zapravo htjeli vidjeti i susreti ste i Sandra s tobom i Dušan s tobom. Pa evo ga, oni koji su htjeli postaviti neko pitanje, sad je vrijeme za to. Ok, to možda znači da smo sve rekli što smo htjeli. Dakle, danas u 5 popodne, kao da je bilo nekad EKV, Sandra Rančić i Dušan Vesić, dakle scenaristica i redateljica. Ja vas sve pozivam da dođete pogledati film i to je to. Mario, do you have anything to add? Ok. Vidimo se. Večeras, danas ovdje u 6 popodne, predstavljanje DVD-a.